Melvin, I don't have nothing on my mind, but
God bless
I him. Love the Lord and I'm thankful.
Bless him, Lord. Today. Praise the Lord.
And I'd like to offer myself. I was thinking about how, you know, this is the Christmas season.
Yeah.
And how I know that we got family that'll be coming from out of town, and you know, we'll be having dinners and supper.
God bless him, Lord. Just help him, Lord.
With one another, you know,
God help.
Because of the Christmas season. But Brother Keith, what was on my mind and in my heart, more than that, is we're children of God, and we're supposed to have fellowship with one another the whole year round.
Yeah.
Amen. We're not supposed to wait on one particular day or one particular meal and join one another. We're supposed to have that same love and same fellowship with one another the whole year round. And I'd like to take this opportunity because I done it Wednesday night, but I'm going to do it again today.
God help.
Because there was a lot not here Wednesday night. And I'd like to take the opportunity to thank the church for the prayers and the fasting that I know some done for the sickness that has been upon me. You might can tell by my voice I'm coming down with a sore throat again. I told Brother Johnny a while ago I thought as many antibiotics that I had in me I couldn't get sick.
God help.
But I'd be doggone if I ain't doing it again.
My God.
But I'd like for us to remember what I said about fellowshipping one another. You know, as a child of God, I've got the love of God in my heart. And as a child of God, I might be the only Bible, Brother L.J., that somebody ever reads.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is they'll look at me and they'll see my life and see the way that I live my life. I thought about this morning when I woke up, the first thing that come on my mind is what made me decide that I wanted to be a child of God. You know, we don't just wake up and become a child of God.
God help. That's exactly right.
That I looked at, Brother Keith, just like you did. And we watched them. And we seen the things that they done.
God help.
And we seen the love that was in their hearts. And we seen how they treated people. And we seen how people treated them. And we said, hey, I want to be just like that. I thought about so many times that Sister Dosey's not here, but how big a help she was to me.
Help, Lord.
And Brother Wint, he's not here. And how big a help he was to me. You know, because I looked at her life, my mother-in-law. I just looked at so many children of God's lives. And I seen the love, Brother Lonnie, that they had in their heart for people. I seen the love that they had and how they wanted to just help people. You know, you go out into this world today and you'll see somebody sitting on the side of the road out of gas, maybe. Or they're sitting there with a flat tire. A woman, for instance, sitting there with a flat tire and maybe have five or six kids. And you'd think everybody that passed them would stop and help them.
Yeah, no doubt.
They don't. Because the devil has got so deep-rooted into people's hearts nowadays that they don't feel that they need to help nobody but themselves. The devil's got them looking at number one, and that's themselves. And what they can do to gain themselves. But today, as a child of God, Brother Johnny, I want my love to be just like them that I was fathering, Brother L.J.
God help.
I seen how he, I was thinking about him this morning, about how many times I walked up on him.
If that means you won't be too high, kind of changes the mind a little bit.
You can tell by the way he smiles that he's a friend.
God help.
And you know, the Bible teaches us to have a friend first. We must show ourselves to be friends.
Yeah, he did.
And this man here, I guarantee you, I've never walked up on him that he didn't have that smile.
God help.
A friendly smile to let you know that he'll help you if you need it. He'll help you.
God help.
Fellowship with you because he loves you. and he wants to help. He wants to be able to do that God would have him to do. And today, Brother LJ, that's me. I want to do that God would have me to do.
Amen. Thank God.
I want to be that God would have me to be.
Thank God.
And walk the pathway, the standard of holiness. I thought about it. You know, a standard, back in the olden days, when they went to war, a standard was a flag, Brother Melvin, that they flew out in front of the army.
Yeah.
And you could look at that flag and you could say, well, they're from Italy. Like the American flag. When people see it, they say, that's American.
Yeah.
Because that's our standard. That's our flag. Well, you see, we are God's standard. We're his flag that he flies. And people look at us. And if our flag is not waving and it's not held up high, if it's down in the mud and it's got dirt all over it, it's sort of hard to recognize.
Amen. Thank God.
I want to be a flag that flies for God, that when people look at me, they say, he's a child of God. I know what he is. And I know exactly what he stands for. Because he is the standard of God. Today, we need to let our self glow and fly in the wind like it should, Brother John. We need to let people know that we love them and we can help them if there's any way, Brother Keith, because we are God's standard. I'd like to just ask y'all to pray for me because I started this way a long time ago.
God help.
And I want to make it all the way. I don't want to turn or vary either way. I want to go straight.
God help. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Brother Roger. Want you to know I'm glad to be with the children of God. Love the way of God. Love the children of God. And I can't love God if I don't love the children of God. So if there's anything that comes wrong, gets between me and the children of God, I have to recognize the fact that it's between me and God. I have to be careful, so careful, till about three nights this past week, since this is the first day of the week, this past week, my sleep was taken from me, and I had to agree that I would come up here to service. Leave my wife sick. Not crying about that. God will take care of her. And also, leave a very high responsibility that I have at home. But I didn't get any sleep till I said, all right, I'll go. Guess what? Over 1,000 scriptures come to my mind. And you say, I don't believe that. Well, all right, I'll tell you what. You sit down. You got about a week to talk with me, and I'll give you every one of them. Here's the kicker, though, do we believe them all? You see, I have to believe them all. And I have to be led by, guided by, instructed by every one of them. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instructions, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Somebody say, you perfect? Absolutely. You know why? Perfect means entire and needing nothing. Today, if you have got the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, you are free from sin and condemnation. That makes a perfect man and a perfect woman. Don't mean you got the knowledge of a rocket scientist. I've seen some awful foolish ones. And I've had to put a few of them to silence when they decided, since they had all the knowledge of and all the college education and all that, they ought to be able to preach a little. Wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And any time a man takes the word of God and tries to justify sin, he is a fool in the sight of God. Brother Roger, I wanted him to go ahead. And I know why. Now, What he talked to you a little bit about that standard. Believe you me, I had no intention, not even thought of the scripture until he made mention. God's got a standard. And listen to what he said about that standard. Let me get myself something so I can stay on the line. They tell me I'm getting senile. They do. Can't pay any attention to him anymore. He's senile. He's still preaching the same thing they preached to him 50 years ago. I heard a fellow get up the other day at home, and he says, you know something? He said, I started coming to church here 40 years ago. And said, the people are still believing the same thing they did then. They hadn't changed a bit. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not on what started 50, well, nearly 100 years ago now, at Valdemosa Springs, and way back yonder 50-something years ago here, beloved, if you own something else, you know what I'm going to tell you? Get off of it. If you claiming the Holy Ghost on something else, quit claiming it. Be man enough, woman enough to say, I have committed sin, I've got sin in my life. Well, listen, what did the Apostle Paul say? He said, I tried to do good. I delighted in doing good. I delighted in the way of the Lord. I delighted in him. But when I do good, evil was present with me. I wanted to do good, but I just couldn't do it. After a while, he explained it. What did he say, Brother Roger? He said, since I wanted to do good and I couldn't, it wasn't any more me that was doing it. It was sin that dwells in me. When sin is dwelling in you, you will be, and you still are, the servant of sin, and you can't do good. Therefore, I have seen many people hang on and hang on and hang on that never received the Holy Ghost until after a while God said, you're hanging on and you're going on and you're bringing a reproach upon my Holy Spirit, and from now on, you're lost forever. You can't even repent anymore. Beloved, every manner, all manner of sin and blaspheming wherewith that a man can sin or blaspheme will be forgiven him, but he that blasphemes, that is, bring a reproach upon the Holy Ghost, it'll never be forgiven him in this world, neither the world to come. Just because you might have decided, well, I want to go with the holiness people. Boy, they have a good time. A little light-hearted, I guess, and I want to be light-hearted because my heart is grieved greatly in these latter days, because I've been telling people for 40 years that there's coming a time when our nation, he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Our nation was going to turn to the place where God would say they are haters of God. I want you to know we're there today. Principalities, powers, those that are in the high places are hating the name of God so bad. They won't even let around some of the schools to, I was noticing on the news where they wouldn't let a teacher teach the Declaration of Independence, but of our nation, one of the foundation documents of our nation, because it had God's name in it. Those in authority in our nation hate God. And I want to tell you something. Not a politician, not talking politics. I'm talking the Word of God, but this guy that came out here on the Democratic Party and run for president is a hater of God in all that is right. And the only thing that election brought us was it brought us to the knowledge of where our nation is headed. Get ready. That's not what Brother Roger brought to my mind. God put that there. Now, this is what he brought to my mind. God put it there through him. there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Here's a man that got over in the Spirit of God enough till that's what he saw. A woman. A chaste virgin represents the Lord's church. A defiled woman represents the great harlot. The reason I mentioned that was, here sat a woman that this man saw with all the light there is in the universe. The sun. And if you spell that S-O-N, you got the light of the world right there. If you spell it S-U-N, God said, I set that sun to rule over the day. And the moon to rule over the night. And then the little stars. Thank God. And being with child, she cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Throw in a scripture there. Who has heard of such a thing? When Zion travails, she brought forth her children. If we are the Zion of God today, if we want to see children born into the family of God, we'll begin to travail. We'll quit playing. I want to tell you a little story about that travailing. You women folks know about it. You men folks ain't got any idea. 16 years old, I went out and made me a cotton crop. That was in my spare time. I had to work on the other crop. Y'all know how that was, the old folks doing. You younger ones ought to have to learn. But I made me a cotton crop and bought me a car. Day I turned 16, I bought me an old 35 Chevrolet. Drove it to Decatur. Got my driver's license. So I was about the only one in the neighborhood that had an old car. Everybody in the neighborhood, if they wanted somebody to run an errand, well, here they'd come, all hours of the night. And I was glad to get the chance to go somewhere, I reckon. But here they come, the people live down there next to Cave Springs, off down in the woods in a little log house. Fella come running in, my wife's having a baby. Would you go to Hartzell and get old Dr. Lovelady? Well, here I go to Hartzell, my old car. Way late at night. Old Dr. Lovelady, about 80-something years old, he come out there and took one look at my car and said, I'm not riding in that thing. So I had to drive it. We had to go in his car. He wasn't riding my old 35 Chevrolet. He had something like a big old, looked like a hearse. Got out there, and he began to get worried by the time we got 10 miles out of Hartzell, and we got about 20 out, 25. Turned down the dirt road, wagon road, got out there and stopped on the side of that, and he had to walk down a trail down to the woods at the top of Cave Springs up there at a little old log house. Little kerosene lamp blinking there. You ever heard an old doctor cuss? He cussed. I wouldn't have come finding on this, but he goes wobbling down the trail. And I can hear this woman screaming at the top of her lungs. Man, I rolled all the glasses up. I covered up my ears. And I sat there till I finally went to sleep. And late that night, or later on, it's already late, he comes wobbling back up there. He got in that car. He slammed the door. He never said yay, nay, or a word to me all the way back to Hartzell. He was worn out. But what I told you, when a woman gives birth, it takes everything just about she can do. And I buried a little baby that a lot of you know about just a few days ago, and had no account daddy. Oh, he acted like he just nearly killed him. And that mother carrying the load. and him not doing anything to help her, acting like it just nearly killed him. Well, I've conducted too many funerals of little babies and grown folks to be carried away with over emotions. And you know what I said? Some of you were there. You heard what I said. That mother loved that baby all the time. That daddy didn't love that baby when it got here. He had to learn to love that baby. It become part of his life after it got here. But that baby, that mother loved that baby all the time. Am I right? Am I right? You know I'm right. And when a woman is hooked up with some sorry piece of trash, they call themselves a man, they don't ever love the baby like they ought to. I just threw that in. All the light of the world, this woman, where is that? 12th chapter of Revelation. This woman, it's true church. Oh, guess what? A few months ago, I got a telephone call late one night. Hey, that's been since I was 16 years old. Y'all can figure out. This woman says, "Is this Melvin?" "Yes, ma'am." "You know who this is?" "No, ma'am." "This is Bessie's daughter. She's told me so much about you and how you went and got the doctor for it when I was born. I just had to call you and talk to you." She's an old woman now. All the light in the world, all the true light in the world is in God's church, that true church. Now, let's go a little further now. "Then with child, she cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered." Now, what happened? "There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 10 and 7 crowns upon his head." You can read about that one all through there, can't you? You can read about how he's going to, after a while, rule our nation. But he's sitting there. And what is he doing? He's waiting for that child to be born. You know why? As soon as that child is born, wait a minute, I'm going to read it. "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them down to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born." As soon as that child, the church, you remember Jesus said you must be born again? As soon as one is born into the church, the devil is standing there waiting. If he can't do anything else, he'll try to drag you off to some sort of adulterous church. Somebody might say, "I didn't know there's anything like that." Well, I'll refer you to the scripture over in the Bible where Moses went up into the mountains fasting and praying 40 days and night, waiting for God to write the Ten Commandments in tables of stone with his very finger. And guess what the children of God had decided to do? Fix them up a religion. And they loved their religion so bad, they made them an idol out of gold that they had conned the Egyptians out of and put it out there and started shouting around it, the work of their own hands. And they were boasting. Oh, God was really blessing them, wasn't he? Every time I see somebody depart from the way of God and go out and start on something they call a church, Brother Lonnie, they do the most shouting you ever heard. They go out and they proselyte and they tell people, man, you ought to go with us. God blessing us. God called them fornicators, spiritual fornication, and he destroyed 25,000 of them. And these things, he said, was given as examples for us. Okay. He drew a third part of the stars from heaven. I'm not going to take up time to point out who those were because I got too much other stuff here right ahead of me. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule the nation with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael, know who Michael is, it's a war angel. And his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, I want you to just figure with me a little bit. Give you a little math test. I had an awful time getting through math in school. But this is easy. The Word of God tells us there is an innumerable number of angels. A third part of that, how many is that? You still can't number it. If there's no number that will go up as high as there are that many angels, a third part of them, there's still no number for them either. So this world is full of defiled angels, spirits. They're called unclean. I'm going to try to rush through this because and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. When I heard a voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of our Christ, for who? The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. Beloved, if that blood has not been applied to your life, covered your sin, sanctified you wholly, then you are like the Apostle Paul was until it happened to him. You're still the servant of sin, and sin is still in you. And it's your ruler, and you can't keep from sinning. It'll pop out. By the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, by thy word thou shalt be condemned, or by thy word thou shalt be justified. And they love not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Time is running out on the devil, and he knows it. And he knows where his eternal home is. I am going to have to just obey what God puts on my heart. yesterday, a lady whose husband I met a long time ago, and I had something happened to me, and it was pretty serious, whatever it was. They picked me up off the side of the road down in South Alabama, put me in a hospital, and kept me for I don't even know how long, because I didn't know how long I'd been there. No, finally, I got feeling like I could ride laying down, so they brought me back home. And I had promised to go to a little old church way back out in the mountain country on a Saturday night, and I couldn't drive, and I couldn't even walk hardly. But one of the brethren says, "You're supposed to be there, I'll carry you." He and his wife carried me down there, up there. We got up there. Well, I managed to get in and sit down. Well, this old man got to praying and laid hands on me, and God healed me. Needless to say, we got to be good friends. Good man. Had a good wife. School teacher. Been a religious woman, going to, I hesitate to say what denomination all those years. But she told me, said, "I'd never heard that word Holy Ghost mentioned in all my life." The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. But this old brother, and she received the Holy Ghost, but through the years, process of time, she called me one day, Chattanooga. "He had died. Would you come down here and conduct his funeral?" "Yes, ma'am." And I did. Now here's a woman who had a good husband. Child of God. Best testimony of a woman talking about her husband you could hear. She said, "That was the best man I ever saw. All of our years together, he never raised his voice to me one time." A woman loses a husband like that, she's lonely. So she called me now, process of time, years passed. So she called me yesterday from somewhere. I didn't even ask her where she was living. But somewhere, and we got Holiness churches all around through the country over there. And she said, "You know, I got confidence in you, and I know you'll tell me the truth. I want to know something." Says, "You know how much I love my husband, but," said, "I am so lonely. I've been praying that God would just send me somebody. And I've met this man. He's a good man." Oh, she built him up every bit she could. But she had a couple of things in there that God won't accept, his children of God. One of them, he had been married and it was divorced. And she had prayed and she just felt so good that God had sent her this man. And she said, "I don't even have a pastor where I'm at. I don't have somebody I can call a pastor. But," said, "I knew you'd tell me the truth. What should I do?" Listen to me, because this is as true if I ever told the truth in my life. I said, "Sister, the devil heard every prayer you prayed. You ain't never heard. Hey, you ever prayed and the devil's completely gone away from you?" "I prayed till I got so free, I reached down, picked up the old serpent, walked around there, got about somewhere, found myself down out of the woods and off down yonder in the cotton patch, and looked down, I still got this thing in my hand." And I remember the old Uncle John Brown said, "If you ever know you got that thing in your hand, it's time to get rid of it. The devil's going to be right there." "And he hears every prayer you pray." I said, "Sister, all the praying you done, the devil knew about it. And guess what he did? He set a trap up for you, and you think God sent him. That's a trap of the devil." Oh, me, she said, Brother Melvin, that's not what I wanted to hear. That wasn't what she wanted to hear. You see, the Word of God is true. I said, okay, if you don't believe me, explain to me something. Where's all these false preachers come from? Many of them fast and pray and seek God. Lord, I want to do you. I want to preach the Word of God. I want to do this and I want to do that. The devil's hearing every bit of it. And guess what? If they don't wait like the Word of God said, wait on your ministry. If they don't do it, the devil's going to say, listen, you can do a better job than that old senile man. You can do a whole lot better job. Well, if people are listening to you, of course they will if they want to commit sin. I said, where do you think all those false preachers are coming from? God's not sending them. Okay, where'd I get to? And the dragon that he had cast upon under the earth persecuted the woman. The devil, Satan, the old serpent. He persecuted the church. That woman represents the church. And he persecuted, and he does until this day. If I can, I'm going to just, I know what I'm talking stuff, and you're not going to remember it. Unless you want to. But let me tell you something. The devil is getting ready. He's already fulfilled the scripture in our nation. This has been going on for a while all over the world, but in our nation, that people, read it in the first chapter of Romans, are haters of God. They hate him so bad they don't want you to say Merry Christmas. Even our department stores and things are not running a lot of advertisement Christmas sales anymore that they've done every year, but they have holiday sales now. And then some of them come by and they want to change Christmas and combine Christmas and Hanukkah together so it'll sound... See, they don't want Christ mentioned. They hate him. They hate him. That is here already. And the Word of God told us. But listen, I want to tell you what's going to happen now. I know I'm jumping from place to place, and it's not because I'm senile. I'm just telling you what God's given me. What is going to happen next? Is this what 79% of the people that claim to be Christians in this country? They're going to say, we can't do anything about this as long as we're divided into all little groups. And they're going to keep on, and they're going to get this little religious order and that little religious order to come together so they'll be able. What did John say he saw rise up out there out of the earth? A beast. That's the second beast. The first one was a political power and a warring power. And was going to be under the leadership of a 10-nation confederacy. A beast was... and he's going to rule the world. But this other beast rose up out of the earth. And he looked like a what? A lamb. A child of God. But guess how he spoke? He spoke as a devil. As a dragon. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to... get all these religious orders together. And guess who's going to be left? The true children of God. And it's going to be a precious few of them. And it will be open season on those children of God. Now, it'll come down to the place where this religious order will begin to agree with this one world order. And say we can have peace. This way we can have peace. And if you want to read what that peace is going to bring, read the 14th chapter of Zechariah. He says, and when they cry peace and safety, sudden destruction is coming. and they shall not escape. There will be a mark put on everybody. I know you've heard it. Those that don't take that mark won't be allowed to buy or sell. Those that don't take it will be enemies of everybody in authority of any sort. Look out for the one world religious order to begin to form. This other is already here looking down at us right now. So we're going to go on. Dragon saw that he was cast upon the earth. He persecuted the woman, the church, which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, and she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Now, what do we find down in the wilderness? Isaiah 35 and 8 tells us what's down there in the wilderness. The church is down there. You know what he said? There's a way down there in the wilderness. Shall waters break out, streams in the desert. And there's a way there and a highway. And it'll be called the way of holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over it. Neither shall it be found there. This is what Brother Roger brought to my mind, and I want to read it. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood. All is, you see, pure living waters represents the Holy Ghost. Flood water is something altogether different. A while back, Junior and I were going down the road. You all know about it, I guess, but it was very, very cold. Looked out there and we saw a woman out in there. It was a flood in our part of the country. All kind of filth you can think of floating around out there, but there's a woman out there just frailing around in the water. So we pulled over and jumped out and pulled her out of the water. She's screaming, her baby was in the car, of course, of water. Had the car completely under the water, about 5 feet under the water, muddy water. Junior dives in and goes out to the car and starts diving down, trying to find the car, find the dead. We got the little baby out after about 30 minutes. But what I'm telling you is I know what a flood looks like. We've had them down there where the caskets, coffins, would float out of the ground. Dead dogs, cats, animals, all kind of filth. Sewer systems overflowing. That's what flood water is. Pure and living water. Pure, clean, fresh water represents the Holy Ghost. Jesus said there shall be in him a river of water, a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. But the flood water is cast out from the devil. And he hoped to carry the true church away with all that filthy doctrines of the devil in the name of religious orders. When I left home early, I flipped the radio on. I listened first to a Jesus only fella. Just as false and as rotten as it could be. But I listened to it. Kept me awake, kind of. Then I listened to a Baptist feller. Did the best talk of any of them I listened to. But then I listened to a Church of Christ feller. Now, what he talked about was how bad the Baptist was doing. And some of the Pentecostals, so to speak. And after a while, I listened to another one come on, and this guy had spent, I believe, several years in prison because he was a dope addict and a thief. and all that. And I listened to that, and they had a little talk show about it. And then I got disgusted and turned it off because of all that. Not one thing did I hear that a child of God ought to be listening to. Not one. But he cast out of his mouth waters of the flood, hoping to carry the true church away with this flood of false religion that's in the world today. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I want to make another quotation. He says, when the enemy comes against you as a flood, God said, I'll raise up a standard against him. You shout all you want to. Speak in tongues all you want to. Beloved, but that standard he rose up tells who's who and what is what. That is a standard that we call a standard of holiness. The Apostle Paul, as I told you, wanted to live right before he received salvation, but he couldn't because he was a servant of sin. Today, I want to say this. There are a lot of people have crept in, the Word of God said, unawares among the children of God that never received God's Spirit. They cannot live for God. They will not live for God because they are still under sin. Let me see. He says, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art. And I'll just leave it right there. I don't want to take up much more time. I really don't. I guess I'll turn over here. I guess I'll start right over here and read a little bit. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Beloved, if you and I are walking after the flesh, there is condemnation in our life. We might say, well, don't condemn me. I'll do this and I'll do that. Beloved, you're condemned already. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For that the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Remember, he's talking about your flesh and my flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Somebody said, why are we all believe that you can't sin? Well, do we? Little book of John, 1 John 3 and 8 said, if you commit sin, you're the devil. Just don't belong to God. Don't know God, neither seen him. Just don't belong to God. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now somebody might say, how in the world can I quit? As Paul said, oh, who will, woe is me, who will deliver me from the power of this death? Somebody might say, well, who can help me? What can I do? I can't help it but commit sin. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now to be carnally, he said, for to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. because the carnal mind is enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Can't do it. So then they that are after the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, beloved, if the Spirit of God not in you, I am talking to you. But if the Spirit of God is not in you, you don't belong to God. 8th chapter, Romans 9th verse. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Now, if any man have not the Spirit, there it is, of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I hope that I am not adding so much here, brethren. Is this being recorded? But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwell in you. The devil says, oh, well, that's talking about he'll raise your mortal body from the grave. No, that won't work, because he said when we die, this mortal puts on immortality. See, that which is mortal is that which is subject to death and decay. That which is immortal lives forever. He dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deed of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, I think I'll just skip a little. I don't want to keep reading. I'll tell you what I think I'm going to do is just tell you how you'll know whether you're in the Spirit or not. How you'll know without a doubt. I don't want to tell you because I want to read it to you. Now he says, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. First thing I want to say, anybody that did not repent of their past sins did not receive the Holy Ghost. You, brethren, believe that? Because that is a requirement. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you. Your children, them that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Matthew 13, verse 3, I say unto you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And again, except you repent, fifth verse, you shall all likewise perish. You see, if you receive the Holy Ghost, you quit all your past sins. You went before God with a contrite heart, mind, and you begged God for forgiveness of those sins, and you quit them. Now, if after you have done that, and the Holy Ghost come into your life, and you went out and you committed sin after you have received the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost departed from you, and you begin to be filled up with all kind of seducing spirits of the devil. But seducing, misleading. So, Sister Dorothy, it wouldn't make other people look like, wow, that's a good child of God. She just has a fit with her husband every once in a while. She won't pay any attention to what he tells her to do. She's as disobedient as she can be. Well, beloved, you're not a child of God if you're doing that way. You hear me? The word of God is given to us as children of God to obey it. If somebody says, well, I just got mad and hit my husband across the head with a rolling pin or a skillet or throwed hot coffee on him, I was just grabbing something out of there that I hear through the years. Just couldn't help it. I got so mad I couldn't help it. Anger resteth in the heart of a fool. And the fool said in his heart, there's no God. Beloved, what I am trying my best, and I want every child of God here to take a hold of this with everything you've got. Don't you anymore recognize people that you know they can't be a child of God. Don't recognize them as a child of God. The Bible said don't even eat with them. And you know what that means. That don't mean let them come out and eat supper. You need to feed them if they're hungry. But beloved, don't sit down here at the Lord's Supper and desecrate God's supper with a bunch of sinners that you know are sinners. Don't do it. Go ahead. Say, do you ever do it? Many a time I've had to, because I don't want to pass judgment. If there's any hope for anybody in this world, I want them to have that hope, beloved. But I'm going to tell you another little story. I'm just full of little stories. Been here a long time. I'm senile. I'll see I can get by with this. Little bunch of fellas, whole bunch of them, claimed to receive the Holy Ghost during a revival. Months and months and months of revivals. Oh, they was shouting as much as you ever saw. Hey, just made it was almost dangerous. That bunch just started shouting, ripping and romping and carrying on through the church. I was sales manager for Singer Company and had an office on the, sort of the north side of Huntsville, in the honky-tonk joints, was on their way down. And I would pass them coming down the road. Well, these boys all worked together, so they all rode together. And they would stop because their driver wanted to get him a beer. And I'd go by there, and the other children of God would go by there, and sinners would go by there, and they'd see them. Well, I saw a bunch of you brothers over at the beer joint. And they did. I told them, boys, don't be doing that. Well, we all ride together, and they just stop, and they're going to do it every time. I said, well, get you another ride. But they made excuses, see? And the excuses went on, brother, until... Well, it ain't going to hurt anything. We'll go in there and sit around and wait for them to drink their beer. Do I have to tell you the rest of it? I'm going to. They sit around there and they decide, well, there's nothing wrong. Just have a little social drink with them. Bible says this and the Bible says that. Listen, when the devil starts telling me what the Bible says, I like to call him record. I may be senile, but he ain't got the wisdom to overcome what I'm standing on. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. So the first thing you know, they're sitting around there socially eating and drinking. What they're doing is eating and drinking with drunkards. And here they'd come to church, and we're trying to have a meeting, trying to help sinners come to God. And guess what they're doing? Romping and ripping and acting like the power of God's all over them, and the God of heaven haven't got a thing to do with them because they're committing sin. Brother, am I getting too harsh? I'm telling you like it is. I've been there. I went to church. I stood up and I told my wife on my way home, I said, I would rather have been beaten tonight with a stick then had to talk what I've got to talk. But beloved, I said, boys, don't go out and say you gave the devil. They had an old thing. If they didn't like what was said, you'd give the devil a stick to beat me with. I said, don't go out and say I gave the devil a stick to beat you with, because you know what you've been doing. And if you've been doing it, don't ever greet me again because there's nothing to you. And I went on home at the service and I told my wife, you believe you carry a load when you have to do that? Do you believe it grieves you? Do you believe you go find a place and weep? I said, I would rather have been beaten with a stick than I had to have done what I've done. Because she says, why? I said, because there'll be about five fellers that'll never be back to church anymore. I said, I never expect them to see him in the church anymore. They knew what he was doing. Well, some of them been back, but guess what? It's in a box. Rest of them. You see, whosoever commits sin is of the devil. Now, I was going to just tell you the difference in those that are living for God and those that's not. Brother Roger, I want y'all to pray for Brother Roger. I'm gonna load him down here. Because I got to stop. Not because I have to stop myself, but because people's done, they done heard more than they want to hear. But I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to tell people the difference. Maybe tonight. Wherever, you might have to fast and pray a little. I heard you talking about that. But I want you to tell people what happens when a man is following the flesh. In other words, a man is not a child of God and he's doing that sinners do. Fifth chapter of Galatians. You know what I'm talking about. He said, now the carnal mind, the natural man, can't receive the things of the Spirit of God, can't know them. Now, I want you to tell them. And then I want you to follow it up by telling them what the children of God do. You can go read the whole right there in just a few verses. How y'all like the way I did that? One of the boys at home says he dedicates a lot of his work. But you see, when I leave, you can say, boy, he's senile. He don't even know when to shut up. And I am. I'm not senile. I'm just old and cantankerous, I guess, when it comes to people claiming to be children of God and being sinners. I love sinners. I'd do anything in the world just about that I can to help them. Gone to jail. Went by last week. Jail. Little old girl looked like she's about 15 or 16 years old, but she's quite a bit older. In jail for stealing to support her dope habit. Steal her own parents' medication and them dying to support her dope habit. Somebody said, do you hate that? I don't hate that kid. I love that kid. I hate that she got addicted to dope at such a young age and she sold her body out. She sold her freedom out. She sold her parents out. Everything out because she was addicted. And somebody say, oh man, that's sorry, no account. Listen, I happen to understand enough to know that sometimes people get, and they don't want to do that anymore, but they've done got too deep into it. It's going to take a lot of help. So she's in jail, and I went to see her all the way down down Ashland prison this week. Honey, use this time to straighten your life up. Use this time to get loose from this. Then come out of here and live a good and decent life. Beloved, there's a difference in children of God. If, Brother Roger, I desire those that have brought a reproach on holiness, I desire that they would look back on their life and see Did you just decide you wanted to be called a child of God and claim the Holy Ghost and still hadn't been made free from sin? If you did, there's a hope for you. But come clean. Confess out where you're at. Now I'm going to add just a little bit and bring it to a close. Whosoever commits sin, First John 3 and 8, is of the devil. I was down in Dothan, Alabama. Pastor down there was telling me about one of his members had committed fornication. Now this was a church of God, not a holiness man. But anyway, the old preacher, he's down and out about it. And he said, and you know if God will forgive him, we have to. I said, I'm not sure God will forgive him. What are you talking about? The man claimed the Holy Ghost. And God said, if you sin willfully, after you receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking forward, fiery judgment of God, fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. And he goes on to say, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You know, this man claimed to be a pastor, didn't know the Bible said that. He had to dig his Bible out and read it for himself. There comes a time when there is no repentance for people. Now, I know, as a matter of fact, as far as that man was concerned, I doubt seriously that he had the Holy Ghost to start with. He wouldn't have been out doing that sort of thing. Not because I want to, but I think I'd better hush. We're in dangerous times. There's only one sin is all it took. One woman doing that God said thou shalt not do brought death and condemnation on every living man, woman on the face of the God's created earth. One sin. Fellow's man and his wife come to me the other day and says, everybody commits sin. I said, I don't. You mean to tell me you don't commit sin? I says, no, I'd like to tell you a little story. July the 29th, 1951, I went to meeting over in Memphis, Tennessee. And there was a preacher up there telling me what sinners, where they were going to spend eternity in a place called hell. And I sat back there and I decided I didn't want to go there. And I prayed 3 days and a fourth night, God gave me the Holy Ghost. And I said, you know what I did? I quit every bit of the sinning. I quit my tobacco smoking. Say, well, ain't nothing wrong with that. Go right ahead and do it then. If it ain't nothing wrong with it. But what else is wrong with you? I quit it. I realize that it's a filthy, dirty habit. It's against people's body. But I was told it, children of God wasn't supposed to defile themselves with things like that. And I quit it. And guess what? I still had a heart attack. Didn't have anything to do with that, I guess. But one thing is, people can talk the word of God and I don't have to hide my face. And I said, I can tell you folks this, up until right now, not one sin, not one thing that I knew to be sin, in all those years have I done, and I'd rather you'd pick up a .44 and shoot me right between the eyes than to lie to you about it. And I said, now let me tell you some good stuff about it. See people laying there and they said he was dead and the power of God come down and brought him up under the power of God. Seen them sitting there that hadn't taken a step in long, long time. Power of God come by and lift them up out of that old wheelchair and see them rejoice. And I told them about a dozen things there that they couldn't believe a word of, didn't sound like. Took them, tied them up there about an hour and a half. Finally, I said, I won't lie to you. Because I hadn't sinned since. And I want to tell you what I told. Whose wedding was that you boys was at upon the mountain? Joshua's wedding. I want to tell you what I told him up there. I said, boys, I'm going to tell you something. You know the first time I kissed my wife, you young girls listen to this. If you're going to claim holiness, you better be listening real close. I said, you know the first time I ever kissed my wife was when that preacher said, I now pronounce you man and wife, you may kiss the bride. You know why? The word of God said, he that looketh upon a woman to lust after has committed adultery in his heart already. And that, now, I'm not going to get into this other, but he did say, 5th chapter of Galatians, such like. And I learned a long time ago, that was the nearest thing I could find to lusting, was all this. Sisters, understand I got some of you in a row about telling you to tell these young girls how to dress. I'm going to tell you something. If you claim holiness, don't you be running around here dressed in indecent clothing. Because it's a whole lot easier if Sister Dorothy comes by and says, Sister, you need to get a top on your dress. You need to make it long enough. If you run around here with shorts on, don't claim holiness. Brethren, does that sound all right? Sounds exactly like holiness to me, and it sounds like the only thing that will take you home to glory. I'll hush.